And welcome aboard here, folks. Michael Cohen here with you on Fox Sports On the Road. It is Kentucky Derby Day. You know, it's funny how every year we get to this point in the year, and it's that first weekend of May kind of sneaks up on you, and then all of a sudden you realize, wait a minute, the Derby is this weekend. And that is the case. Once again, the 150th running of the Kentucky Derby is today. It's going to be a fantastic race. There are a number of very good horses that are going to be taking part in it. Joining us to talk about this race from the New York Racing Association, we had him on last year. He's a fantastic handicapper, and that is Matthew DeSantis. Matthew, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. So excited to join you and talk about a wonderful edition of the Kentucky Derby. 20 amazing horses that are going to let us see who's the best three-year-old running right now.
It is the 150th running of the Kentucky Derby. What's that mean as far as racing aficionados go, to have that kind of anniversary being the 150th race?
Yeah, it's just very special, obviously, to really be able to take a moment and appreciate the history of this race and go back and celebrate all of the wonderful previous champions and just to relive so many of those great moments.
There are a number of horses that have very good favorability ratings going into this. Fierceness and Sierra Leone are two of the top-rated horses going in. Leone right now is from what I see, is a 3-1 betting favorite, while Fierceness is a 5-3 betting favorite. So from these two horses, what should people like about them if they're going to put their money on those two?
Yeah, well, it's funny. They're two completely different types of horses. Fierceness is the type who is going to go straight out to the front and is going to run up on the front end, potentially even on the lead. The big thing you have to worry about him is how well he breaks out of the starting gate. He's had some issues in previous races. When he breaks well, he is dominant. But when he doesn't break well and kind of gets behind the eight ball a little bit, he can turn in some clunkers. Sierra Leone, on the other hand, is going to come flying from the back of the pack. This is a horse that will be sitting dead last early in the race, mm-hmm. and has an incredible turn of foot, incredible acceleration, great stamina, great endurance, and is going to try to pull off that sort of mind that bird, rich strike, sort of run from the back of the pack and try to mow them all down at the end. He's talented. $2.3 million purchase as a two-year-old. So he's got a lot of expectations, and he's been living up to them.
That, and also you have the Chad Brown angle to this, because he is looking for his first Kentucky Derby triumph. He has been one of the top trainers in the country for quite some time. This would obviously be a huge feather in his cap if he can get it.
Oh, absolutely. And he's had some really good horses. A horse like Good Magic finished second a couple of years ago. Zandon finished third 2 years ago. So he's had really good horses running in this race. He's obviously a trainer who has so much success on the turf, but this will be a huge feather in his cap, like you said. And Sierra Leone is obviously his best chance, I think, to have a Derby winner. And it's just, like I said, such an impressive horse, has won three of his four career races, mm-hmm. looked so good winning the Bluegrass Stakes last time out. And the nice part is he doesn't need a pace collapse to close into the lead. He can close from behind a slow pace or a fast pace, and he's handled a sloppy track and a fast track. So he really is well-versed for any situation on Saturday.
Brad Cox is running three horses in this race, or actually now two horses in this race. One of them was just scratched. He's got Just a Touch, who's running it now at a 16-1 odd, and then Catching Freedom, who's at a 9-1 odd. I would assume, just based on the odds, Catching Freedom right now is the better bet if you're going to bet on a Brad Cox horse. What do you think about him and going into this race?
He's got an incredible stable of three-year-olds, both fillies and colts. And it's funny, those are actually my top two choices in this race. So maybe I'm giving a little bit away right now, Catching Freedom is a horse I absolutely love. He's gotten faster every single time out, coming off that Grade 2 Louisiana Derby last time out. He's another horse that is going to be closing from the back. I do think he has a little bit more tactical speed than Sierra Leone, so I don't think he's going to be sitting in last or second to last. I expect him to sit in maybe 13th, 14th, in that sort of a position. Same sort of trip Mage might have had last year when he won the Kentucky Derby and then making a move late. He's a horse I think is, you know, going to continue to run his best race. And then Just a Touch, very lightly raced horse, only three career starts, finished second to Sierra Leone last time out in that Bluegrass while pressing very strong fractions. The big question for him is, can he sustain this run for a mile and a quarter, because he's going to be up on the front end with horses like Fierceness and Track Phantom and Dornick. And can he sustain those really strong fractions and still be running strong come the end of the race.
Absolutely. One of the more intriguing entries into the race, at least for me, is going to be Forever Young, one of the two Japanese-owned horses that are going to be running in this race, because he has been trying to increase his distance over the last number of races he's been in, and reading up more about him, that there's a sense that he could handle this mile and a quarter race that's going to be for the Kentucky Derby. What do you think about Forever Young?
I love him. He's such a cool horse, a perfect 5 for 5, has never lost. And you're right, he's bred for distance. He should be able to love this mile and a quarter. The biggest question for the Japanese runners is how do they handle the international travel? Mm-hmm. Forever Young ran in the Middle East in the Saudi Derby and in the UAE Derby, and then shipped over to the Kentucky Derby from there. We've never seen a horse do that sort of international travel and win, alone even finish in the money. So it's one of those things. He's going to have to overcome something, do something for the first time. He's got a great running style. He's a powerful horse. And his trainer, Yoshito Yahagi, is the same trainer who brought Japan their first two Breeders' Cup victories 3 years ago at Del Mar. So he's trained by the right sort of guy who knows how to make history in North America.
That's very interesting. I did not know that. That's pretty interesting.
Yahagi is he's a huge name over in Japan, and he's such a respected trainer. So, just the connection of him to the horse, I think, has a lot of people excited about his chances this year.
Absolutely. Of course, Fierceness, we just touched on a moment ago, the Tom Plector horse, but also when you talk about that kind of those legacy trainers, you have to mention Plector. You have to also mention Dwayne Lucas, who's going to have a horse in this race in Just Steel. And I think that's kind of a perfect name for a horse that's trying to get under the radar a bit with the name of Just Steel, Just Steel Race, if you will.
Absolutely. Son of Justify, Triple Crown winner Justify. And like you said, trained by Dwayne Lucas, who... I'm 43 years old, and when I was growing up in the 80s and 90s, mm-hmm. no person was more synonymous with the Kentucky Derby than Dwayne Lucas, and his sunglasses and that big Stetson hat. And so it's great to see the coach, his nickname, back in the Twin Spires and running in this race. Just Steel's a horse that just kind of hangs around. He's a horse that just always seems to finish second or third in these races, and he's got a very useful running style. He doesn't need the lead. He can sit kind of mid-pack and let some of the front runners wear themselves out before making a run late. He's been working out very aggressively leading up to this race. He just had a 8-furlong or 1-mile workout leading up to this, which is a bit unusual for horses. So Lucas is trying to push all the right buttons before this race, and certainly coming in after a very good second place in the Arkansas Derby. I know he's going to be a sentimental favorite, and we should mention his jockey, Keith Asmussen, the mm-hmm. son of trainer Steve Asmussen, is running in his first Kentucky Derby.
That's very interesting. It's all great stories right there, and as far as some of the long shots going into this race, is there a long shot that right now has, let's say, poor current odds right now that you would say may see their odds improve, or maybe is a horse to watch even though they're kind of under the radar right now?
Yeah, I think a horse like Domestic Product or Chad Brown, and he's kind of the other Chad Brown horse because everybody's going to focus on Sierra Leone. But this is a horse that likes to come from off the pace but has managed to run in two consecutive races, the Holy Bull and the Tampa Bay Derby, where they went so slow up front. They went just very slow fractions, and yet he was still able to close into that. I think it's going to be a race that sets up much better for him now that they're going to go a lot faster up front. He can sit back and really make his run late. He's got the top jockey in North America, Irad Ortiz Jr., aboard. There's a lot to like there. If you look at the numbers, he needs to get faster, but I think he gets the right pace set up, and he's going to be a really big price for people.
All right. So you started to allude to it a little bit earlier about how you may see this thing break out, so let's just go right into it. How do you see this turning out? Win, place, show. Who do you see?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Catching Freedom as my top choice. I think the race sets up nicely for him, and he's an ascending horse that just keeps getting better. Just a Touch, I think, is going to run a really big race. I think he's sitting on a big effort. He's going to be my second choice in place. And then Fierceness is going to be my choice for third place. He's a horse that is supremely talented. We still don't know if he can face adversity, but it is interesting. Out of the last 11 Kentucky Derbies, 9 of the post-time favorites have finished in the top 3. So fading the favorite entirely is probably not the right choice. So I'm going to go with him in my third spot.
All right, so there you go. So you got Catching Freedom with the win. You got Just in Touch in second, and then Fierceness rounding out the top three and third. So, I mean, if it comes out like that, that'll be fantastic. A lot of people are going to be very happy if that comes out that way.
Yeah, myself included.
Absolutely.
Great.
Again, Matt, I want to thank you so much for joining us here to talk about the Derby. A couple weeks, we'd love to have you come back on because we know we got the Preakness not too far away.
Absolutely. Happy to join you, and always a pleasure talking.